Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
You know, Brian...
What's that?
Will West was saying it during the starting lineup today.
Yeah?
He was saying, you know, it seems like the last time we ever did anything, Ainge was the quarterback. He said I should, quote, stunt more often.
I knew this was going to be a long show as soon as he said that.
It's not my style to do that, Brian. But,
oh, really?
But if it's been a request of a coworker, then yes, I am the last quarterback to beat the University of Alabama. Yes, it was on a game-saving touchdown. Like I shared with SEC this morning with Peter and Chris, mm-hmm. It may have been after my third interception.
It was.
So it was a self-inflicted opportunity to be a hero. But, you know, that's the last time we beat these guys,
yeah.
Brian.
Yeah,
100%
it certainly was.
And you know what? It's
certainly
not every day that you come into work and your favorite person has on your jersey.
Yeah, Joe here.
And Joe's got the
Rusty Walskia broke the Eric Ainge jersey out of the closet, and it's here.
She's got the Adidas 10 on.
Yeah,
I mean it's one of those. It's just it's going to be one of those days today, Brian. Saddle up, partner. It's going to be a fun 3 hours.
Let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
Was it a part of the game plan to throw the three interceptions? No. Was it a part of the game plan to give max effort to be the last quarterback to beat the University of Alabama? Yes, it was.
Well, you were hoping to beat him three more times when you're here, but you didn't.
You mean two more times?
Five, six, and seven.
Beat him in four, beat him in six.
Oh, yeah.
Both at home.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't play in five.
Yeah.
But 0-1 versus Saban. If you want to.
I thought you didn't play in the 6-3 game?
Well, they put me in with one play left to try to throw an 80-yard Hail Mary.
Oh.
But I never played in the game.
We shouldn't have fumbled the ball through the end zone twice, that's for sure.
That's back when you could hold teams. That's back when you could have a three interception game and still play good on the last couple drives and win.
We
There's
held Alabama
no
to 6 points and lost.
Six points and lost. And then the two times we beat them, it was in the teens. Those always were good defensive football games.
All right.
I digress.
How healthy does Brian Maurer have to be to play tomorrow? That's a question. I think it's a question that's been bandied about. Well, if he's healthy, he's going to play. How healthy, in your opinion, does he need to be to play? We'll talk about that coming up. What can Tennessee do to beat Alabama? What's the plan? What do you come up with? What do you draw up? How do you move it forward? We'll talk about that coming up. Patrick Mahomes last night was injured in Thursday Night Football, dislocated his kneecap.
On a quarterback sneak.
Yeah, that was just a bad luck. There is an MRI scheduled for today. If it's just the kneecap, he's out 3 to 4 weeks. If there's ligament damage as well, it's his season. And another one of the big NFL stars, the most exciting player in the game, and I believe your fantasy quarterback, is out.
Yeah.
Not great for anybody.
It's not great for the league. It's not great for anybody. And you know how you know you're a baller? When you get hurt and the other team's defense is all coming over you. Even guys like Derek Wolfe, mm-hmm. who are like borderline dirty D linemen, are walking over to pat you on the butt, slap you on the shoulder. No one wants to see a guy like Mahomes. If you respect the game, even his opponents don't want to see him get hurt.
I saw a survey yesterday of a guy that does screen caps and screen records, and the most mentioned player on ESPN last week for any sport was Patrick Mahomes.
And he's the best quarterback in the game right now. And that's how it should be.
63 play. UCLA, by the way, beat Stanford last night. Stanford's got some issues.
Chip. Stanford does have some issues, but still, you got to give Chip some credit.
UCLA picked up their second win last night. Since Chip Kelly has arrived at UCLA, this report came out yesterday, 63 players have left his program.
Wow. Never mind.
They're playing with a very short roster because you can only bring in 25 a year.
Remember how we said Pruitt may not be for everybody?
Yeah. Chip Kelly is definitely not for everybody.
Pruitt is for most people.
Like, he's for people who want to win.
He's for people that want to – yeah, but even that, you have to – like, it takes a special person to coach with him. It takes a special player. I mean, isn't Ryan Day of the Chip Kelly tree? I'm positive he is. Ryan Day has said things about Chip Kelly that you go, well, I mean, look at that. There's a – reputable guy in the business who's a quote guru who has great things to say about, like, so my point is some people say good things about Chip Kelly and some people don't. Chip's not for everybody.
Clearly wasn't for those 63.
Chip.
Did Tennessee break Joe Moorhead? Because he's now emerged as a leading candidate for the Rutgers job.
Ooh.
Would you leave Mississippi State for Rutgers?
No. I would not, because having success at Rutgers counts for nothing. I mean, I guess they're technically in the Big Ten now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you can have success at Rutgers now, then it counts.
Yeah.
If Schiano goes back and brings Rutgers back to relevancy, that counts. If Joe Moorhead, I mean, I don't know, man. Leave the SEC West to go play in the Big Ten?
I'm going to look at it.
Even the worst Big Ten school is easier to have success at than Mississippi State in the West in the SEC. I don't know.
You're not following Dan Mullen at Rutgers? Because here's the thing with Joe Moorhead. He got a six-year contract. He's in year two. Didn't get an extension after last year because you don't extend your guy after the first year. He's not getting an extension after this year. So for the same money, he could go reset his clock up there. And they have way less expectations because they're Rutgers. They get beat 63-0 because they have to play Michigan. Anyway, we'll have our NFL preview, the SEC preview. We will have the famous Native Design Pick segment coming up at 11 o'clock.
You guys did some work on that yesterday, huh?
We did.
Just on the down low?
There's going to be a promo soon that I think people are going to like. And not ready today because we just cut it yesterday, but I think it's going to be something. We'll have our Tennessee football preview and our keys to the game as well. All of that and more coming up today on the Eric Haynes Show here at Rusty Wallace. Kia on Callahan Drive, and that is the game plan. It's laid out for you by 42nd Street.
And here's the deal. It may not be in your game plan to have had a stale, old, crusty, rusty, boring website, but if you're a business owner in East Tennessee and you're hearing today and you're hearing us talk about it, yeah, you know what? You need to refresh it. You need to liven it up. If the last time you looked at your website was, I don't know, in 2006, the last time Tennessee beat Alabama, the last time, you know, that I was the quarterback over there, Brian. That's been too long since you've looked at your website. I mean, what about your logo? You need to rebrand, refresh, and your clientele could have changed. You just need constant attention on the back end of your business. And these are guys that you can contract to add on to your team. You don't have to fire anybody to get with 42nd Street. Bring them on the team as well. Get them looking at your business. Get them looking at your website, your digital brand, your online reputation, reviews, all that stuff. Adding them to your team makes you a better business. That I guarantee at 42SD.com.
By the way, this weekend is the second annual Camp Out and Jeep Show out at Cades Cove Jeep Outpost. It's going to be fun. A lot of fun this
weekend. Absolutely, yeah. We'll tell you about that later.
It's coming up 656-9900 if you want to join us. It's the Eric Haynes Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haynes Show, live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, I-75 and Callahan Drive. We'll be here until 12 o'clock today. Got a fun-filled show today, getting ready for the third Saturday in October, coming up tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Brian, we had a couple guys on our football team.
Mm-hmm.
That said, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically this doesn't look like a national championship Alabama team on film.
Yeah, that was the Molly McGrath, who will have the be on the sidelines this week, said that was what two guys said in a conference call with the announcers for Saturday's game yesterday. The home team meets typically with the announcers in person on Friday, and then the road team will do that usually via conference call. So they're on a conference call with players, and that's what they said. Probably not the right thing to say.
I normally would agree with you, but here's the thing. A, you're a 35-point underdog, okay? So, and this team, Alabama, they never don't show up to play anyway. So it's not like you're waking up a team that has a history of, you know, like, would it have been smart for South Carolina to say this on Friday via conference call or whatever to Georgia? Probably not, because you're probably then waking up a team that showed and proved that they can fall asleep. Here's the deal. I don't believe that if Tennessee and Alabama got in a fist fight, I don't know that they would win. Alabama said fist fight. I'm serious.
I'm picking our guys to beat them in 2 weeks, but
I'm looking at our guys. You know, like Juwan Jennings versus their DBs, yeah. Marquez Callaway, Josh Palmer. Our guys are big and physical, and I know we're not playing. It's not a fist fight, right? This isn't a UFC game. It's a football game. I understand that, but I don't blame our guys for having a little bit of physical confidence in this game. This is a smaller front, a younger front. There's no way that Wanya Morris or Trey Smith or any of our guys look at their defensive front and just cower in the sheer intimidation factor that is the Alabama defensive line this year. They're long and lean, and they look like first-round draft picks. But it's a different kind of first-round draft pick. It's I'm going blank on the guy. First-round draft pick out of A&M, defensive end for the Browns.
Miles Garrett?
Garrett. It's Miles Garrett versus Derek Barnett. Coming out of college. They have a bunch of guys that look like Miles Garrett. They don't have a bunch of guys that look and play like Derek Barnett. I would never pick a fight with Derek Barnett.
Right.
I mean, none of us would pick a fight with Miles Garrett either, let's be honest. But you see what my point is. I don't think from a physicality standpoint, we should be afraid of these guys. Now, we're playing football, and they're really, really, really good at football. Better than anybody until LSU, we'll see, right?
Yeah.
But I don't blame them as 35-point underdogs when they watch the film going, I can block that guy. Now, can all of us block all of them and execute on any given play? I don't know. Maybe not. Probably not. Not enough to go win a football game. But I do not blame Daniel Batuli for looking at their offense, their running, attacking offense, and going, I'm not afraid of these guys. I don't. Again, I don't think that we're going to beat Alabama. I do not think we're going to beat Alabama. But I love the fact that I think that we're going to come out and we're going to bring it. And they're going to have to be ready to bring it too. Because we've seen the margin of error in this. If you get a little bit off your game, Jake Fromm hadn't played like that in his entire career. But if you can get guys a little bit off, then they can do things that are uncharacteristic of themselves. Tua Tagovailoa was off his game early in that A&M game. And he threw his first interception. Again, these guys are amazing at football. He's got 27 TDs and one pick. Are you going to beat somebody that does that? No. But can you get them off their game to maybe throw another one? Maybe. Can you blitz them and hit him, and, you know, to where he's going, man, they're staying back and we're catching and they're tackling us and it's going to be 20 yards a pop and, you know, we're going to have 4 to 6 plays and we're going to be in the red zone and we're going to have chances. But if on 4 to 6 of those plays, if he gets hit twice, I don't know. Maybe he does do what he did against A&M. The only reason A&M was in the football game, man, was because they had Bama just a little bit off. They still lost by a few touchdowns. You're not going to beat these guys. But can you go out there and physically hit them and hit them hard enough and show that you're willing to lose the football game, but you're not willing to lose the fight? Because that would throw that could throw them off a little bit. And I know I would be proud of them if they did.
We're sure going to try.
I think it's... You know, are they saying those things? Does this look like a national championship Bama team? See, I disagree. I think it does.
Yeah.
I think the football team does.
I think especially when you look at what else is out there, they do.
But does this look like, you know, maybe what they should have said was, this looks like a different kind of championship Bama team. This doesn't look like the same the Bama teams that we're used to.
I think they lose to LSU in 2 weeks, and then they're the 3 seed in the playoff because they won't pit number one LSU against number four Alabama in the first round of the playoff. Maybe they do. Maybe they want to make sure that you don't get an all SEC championship game. But I see them losing to LSU, but nobody else, and I don't see anybody losing to LSU right now.
Yeah, I mean, and even if they beat LSU, I don't see LSU losing to anybody else either. Yeah.
So they're in. That means that Alabama's in the playoffs. So if you're in the playoff, you have a chance. Because Clemson's the only team the last few years that stood in the way of Alabama being a championship team. And this Clemson team, the way they've played this year, unless they change something significant, is not going to beat this Alabama team. I mean, I haven't seen anything from Clemson. Yeah, North Carolina didn't have their complete attention, but they have not looked sharp in other games. Now, that could change between now and when they play in the playoff. But right now, I have to say Alabama is, because to say they're not is kind of a lack of awareness of what else is out there in college football.
Yeah, no, they're for sure a national championship caliber Alabama football team, like without a doubt.
And by the way,
it's
I think
just
players
different.
Players do have that lack of awareness of what else is out there because they're focused on themselves and the teams they're playing.
And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that what they're saying is what they could have just come out and straight up said, we're not afraid of these guys. I don't know if we're going to beat them, but we're not afraid of them. And that's what I think that quote
is about.
Yeah. I think it's about, because there have been times when you would watch this Alabama team through this Nick Saban run where you kind of sit back and you watch what they do to teams and you go, oh, their starting quarterback, everybody's starting quarterback gets hurt at some point.
Yeah.
Half the team isn't any good or even playing the next week. This is not the same Bama team that went like, okay, they played Texas A&M. Texas A&M for the next two weeks is just going to be worthless because they had to play Alabama.
Yeah, this, and it's Will pointed out this morning, this team is not that team.
It's not.
I mean, we could still go out there and get six guys hurt tomorrow. But this is not the physical Alabama team that I think affects you for the next 3 weeks. I mean, look at South Carolina. They play Alabama, and then they go in and win the next week.
Yeah.
They didn't, and not Georgia, but they won. I forget who it was.
Still, they won, week. and then they played Georgia.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's – I'm not worried that we have to go play Bama and then turn around and have to play South Carolina. To me, it's just like
Kentucky. They lost. Wasn't South Carolina. South Carolina lost to Alabama, then lost to Missouri, then beat Kentucky and Georgia. Somebody else I was thinking of. So sorry.
Doesn't matter. Still, I mean, they lost to a good Missouri team, and then they were able to beat a Kentucky team. You know, and then they got a bye week, and then they go play Georgia. But the Alabama game in years past,
yeah,
it would have affected that Kentucky game.
Ole Miss is who I was thinking of here. Ole Miss. Lost 59-31 to Alabama in a game that they had to play for a long time and then came back and beat Vanderbilt. I mean, it's Vanderbilt, but they beat them 31-6
yeah,
in
years,
a noon game.
In years past, that Alabama game would have destroyed Ole Miss, and then a team like Vandy would have crept up, and as bad as they are this year, would have beat them.
Or at least given them a game.
Yeah, because they would have been just – they'd have still been – reeling from having to play the Crimson Tide the week before. So I agree, this is not that same kind of team. And if it's not that same kind of team, this is football, man. This isn't 7-on-7. You know, Bama is better in the skill positions than everybody. You know, they're comparable to everybody. We just said their quarterback, for crying out loud, is in his third year in the program, and he's halfway through, and he didn't even start as a freshman. And he's already Alabama's all-time leading touchdown thrower. He's the best statistical quarterback Alabama's ever had on one, and you could call it a half or one, and even if you said two-thirds, not even 2 years, and he's going to shatter records. He'll become the fourth or fifth quarterback in the SEC, if things keep going the way they should this year and he stays healthy, to have over 100 career touchdown passes. I mean, it's incredible, but we're not playing that game. These guys give up some yards in the run game. They don't run the ball as well. Now, they don't really try to, but that still is who they are.
Alabama's opponents are 3-2 after playing them this year. The losses were South Carolina against Missouri and New Mexico, who is 0 for the season. So I don't think playing Alabama and losing 62-10 caused them to lose 31-10 to San Diego State.
No.
They just, you know, that's what it is. And then, obviously, Alabama's played six games. We'll find out about Texas A&M tomorrow. 656-9900 if you want to join us as we broadcast live here from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. They're having their big October event. If you got one of their mailers, you come in for the and try your hand at the Lucky Key. And all the Rusty Wallace dealerships are donating a portion of proceeds to the American Cancer Society. Chad was talking about that this morning with the guys from the first quarter. We'll talk about that with Jake coming up here in a little bit as well. But a great thing that they're doing here at Rusty Wallace Kia on Callahan Drive, home of the 200,000-mile warranty on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
It's Friday. It's the Eric Gaines Show. It's sunny outside. It's the fall. It's starting to be a little chilly in the mornings. Oh, I just fall in East Tennessee, man. It's as good as it gets. And we're out here at Rusty Wallace Kia, home of the 200,000-mile warranty on all new Kia purchases here. That seems to be about as good as it gets on a warranty standpoint. So
$5,000 over Blue Book value for your trade right now at Rusty Wallace Kia, and a portion of every car sold goes to the American Cancer Society.
Hey, not to pump us too much, but the Eric Gaines Show, latest everything coming out there, seems to be about as good as it gets as well.
Wow, all right.
So there
I
you
like
go.
That. All right, 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the EA Show. How healthy does Brian Maurer have to be, in your opinion, to play tomorrow?
It can't indeed be a game-time decision, in my opinion, because if it's a game-time decision, that means throughout the week you haven't known, which means he hasn't been the one probably out there taking all the reps and practicing and doing all that stuff. If it's a game-time decision, my game-time decision would be to make him a backup if he's even capable of playing. And I mean that. Putting Brian Maurer out there, yeah, maybe it leads to another touchdown, explosive play touchdown or two, maybe. It also probably leads to the same amount of turnovers or more.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you put Jared Garantano out there, does his play lead to a victory either? No. So, I don't know, man. If the kid's been healthy and he's fine and he's been practicing all week, then put him out there and hope he lasts the whole game. He hasn't been able to yet.
That's true, in two games.
So, again, I know the sample size is short, but he's thrown two picks, four interceptions. He turns the ball over on 28% of the drives that he takes the ball and goes out there. If you turn the ball over, if you get 10 drives and the quarterback has three turnovers, then you hope no one else fumbles the ball or does anything else. But even that alone, I mean, you're not – if the goal is to win the game – I do not believe Brian Maurer gives you a better chance to win. I don't think Jarrett gives you a good enough chance to win. So I don't – again, that's why I kind of said – I said it last night, and I said it a bunch this week. I mean, I don't think it matters who you play at quarterback. I don't think there's some bigger picture thing where the guys and everyone's bought in to Brian Maurer only and no one believes in anybody. I don't believe that. I do not see how play on the field – could possibly lead that. As a football guy watching it, I don't believe that. I don't have any more confidence in Brian Maurer than I do Jarrett Garantano. I don't think Jared Garantano is good enough to go beat Alabama, but I don't think anybody but Joe Burrow is. And the reason I think Joe Burrow is largely in part to the guys he's playing with and how good their rest of their team is. I just don't think in this football game, you know, you could make the argument, listen, if we're just going to go run the football and we're just going to, that's going to be the game plan, then you put Jared in there because Jared has already proven that he's actually very good at calling run plays and managing the run game and running the zone play to the right side. And he did it against Mississippi State. He did a good job of not trying, you know, taking the bait and trying to throw the ball out there. He kept handing the ball off until he finally handed it off enough that when he did pop it out there, Tyler was able to go. You know, no one wants to give Jarrett credit for that because he just threw a little screen pass, you know, on an RPO. And I understand that, but I give myself credit when I used to see them in single high and bringing pressure from the field, and I had Robert Meacham over there, and I would check to quit game and go 1-2-3, boom, and throw a little hitch. And then he'd go do what he did with it. But, you know, the reason I checked it, because he's good at doing that and because we'd run the ball well enough. I know the throw wasn't all that hard, but it's the decisions that lead up to the opportunity for that to happen that matter. I just don't see how a freshman quarterback – with a week in concussion protocol, coming off a weird neck head play in which he's only played in a couple games and he's turned it over four times and only thrown a couple touchdowns, where you look at that and say, that's definitely the best option for us. I just don't see that. I understand the pressure of you've already made the decision to pull your veteran guy. So if your guy is healthy enough to play the game, I understand putting him out there, but I by no means would have my football team under the impression that Brian Maurer was the only guy that was going to go under center for me this week. I almost think that would be irresponsible. They need to be ready for either one of those guys to come out there. Heck, they need to be ready for JT Shrout to come out there. He's already redshirted.
He's not. No, he's...
He has not?
Oh, yeah. Last year. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, Maurer's played in more games. He's not going to redshirt. Let's
right.
I mean,
Maurer's
so that,
played in.
He's not, yeah, game. he's not going to redshirt. So, it doesn't, there's no gamesmanship from that standpoint. The team needs to be ready for all three of those guys that we put at quarterback to go under center and get in the shotgun, call some run plays, call some pass plays, and then whoever they want to start, I don't care. I would not blame them one bit if they started Jared Garantano in that football game, especially if you have anything lingering at all with your true freshman quarterback. I wouldn't blame them if they think that he's healthy enough and he cleared protocol to put 18 out there. Put him out there and let him go do his thing. And if he starts turning the ball over a bunch and your defense is playing pretty good, then pull him and put Jared in there and run the football and throw high percentage passes, and don't, you know, make sure he knows you do not have to. If there's one thing that I blame Jarrett for this year, he put too much pressure on himself early, trying to make plays, thinking that this, you know, the team wasn't going to be as good, so he was going to, as the veteran older player, the smart guy that doesn't turn the ball over, he was going to go make plays, and all that did was end up getting him to turn the football over.
6569 unheard. If you want to join us, the Eric Gaines Show continues.
DC says, "Are you calling JG the running game coordinator like Matt Sims?" No, but there's value in being able to check run plays if you know you're going to get beat, and the only thing you're doing is running the football.
Let's talk to Eddie ahead of a break. Eddie, welcome into the Eric Gaines Show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Y'all do a great job, and Eric, I'm going to tell you, bro, I really appreciate your analysis and the way you talk on the radio, man. I really appreciate that. Former Vols and people like your the way you're a true Vol, Eric. Appreciate that.
It means
a lot.
I appreciate it, man.
And you'll relate to this because I'm a former player and I know how superstitious we are. You know, same socks, same feet, all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I like the orange pants. You think they'll keep the orange pants?
The orange britches?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if Trey Smith walked in your office and said, "Coach, we're wearing the orange britches,"
I don't think he'd say that.
I don't think you would either. But I mean, I don't know. I thought they were fun. The guys played good with them. You can't wear them every week.
We will see them again. I don't know that we'll see them tomorrow, but I think they will make an appearance on one of Tennessee's remaining three road games for sure.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. You all have a blessed day.
All right, we appreciate it, Eddie.
Do you know when it became public that we were wearing the orange pants?
About 2 hours before kickoff.
Yeah,
and
so
they posted the uniform video. Normally they post the uniform combination video on Fridays, but not yesterday.
You know who the first person to find out technically was?
Who's that?
Me.
How's that?
I bumped into the guy that makes the decision and makes the video public way before that, and he told me that we were wearing orange pants today, and I was on the cell phone talking to somebody, signing an autograph for another person, and I never even really thought about it. I was like, okay, well, I just don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
So it never clicked, and then I saw everyone a couple hours later start freaking out on social media.
It's good stuff.
That we were going to wear orange pants, and I was like, oh, that's what he meant by orange pants. I was thinking he was talking about, like, Mark Nelson orange pants, like orange jeans. I was on the phone. I can't be held accountable, responsible for anything that I do or
Saturday.
Don't. Yeah. A day that ends in Y?
Yeah.
I got distracted. It was a day that ended in Y. It wasn't my fault. Thanks for the call, though, man. I appreciate that.
All right.
That's a badge of honor that I wear, someone calling me a true Vol.
656-9900. We'll come back here to Rusty Wallace, Key of Knoxville on Callahan Drive next on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal. Welcome into the Eric Gaines Show, FM 99.1, Sports Radio, WNML.
Yeah, buddy.
Eric.
So I'm going to teach my kid. I'm going to read to my kids today.
Okay.
At 12:45 and 1 o'clock.
Proving an SEC stereotype wrong that in fact football players can read.
I can read the book. I'm going to read the book.
It is only a third grade book, though.
It is Skeleton Cat and Bruce something. Bruce is an angry bear. Anyway.
Okay.
I think that I should teach them how to sing the song we used to sing on the third Saturday in October, which is, we don't give a damn about the whole state of Alabama, whole state of Alabama, whole state of Alabama. We don't give a damn about the whole state of Alabama. We're from Tennessee. I sang that a couple times in college.
We weren't supposed to sing anymore. That was the rule. Never mind.
You can
sing.
Jarnigan will not care.
Not for that one.
No, not absolutely
not.
And being that I'm the last quarterback to beat Alabama, not the last one to sing that, because the guys got to sing that against Auburn last
year. Right.
But I think that I should teach my first and third grade kids classes, because a lot of these kids, they don't grow up. None of them were born the last time we beat Alabama. Literally. Not even a...
But can you teach third graders to say damn? Because I don't think you can.
You know what? I'll bet third graders back in the day, I'll bet they knew how to sing it. I'll bet they were taught how to sing it.
All I'm saying is, if you
edited it. Bad take. We don't give a damn about the whole state of Alabama, whole state of Alabama, whole state of Alabama.
For the third graders, I would not judge you for that. Some may.
And then you hold the number one up in the air and your cigar in the other hand and you say, we're from Tennessee. Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
Maybe it will soon.
So we're going to have to teach our kids what used to happen. And you're saying say darn?
I think I would teach the third graders darn just so you make sure that you're invited back.
Well, the only families that would care that I said damn would be the Bammer families. And there are those.
They don't matter.
We don't give a darn about the silly Bammer families, all the silly Bammer families.
Yeah, that's also true.
All the silly Bammer families. But they buy cars too, and you can't come buy a car if you want to, but.
Yeah.
May not be nice.
They've
to
got
you
an
today.
Orange one right out here that you can buy.
I'm not going to be nice to you today if you do.
They've got an orange one.
If I was an Alabama fan and I saw how it's been so long. Mm-hmm. People that, like, they don't want that. They want to win, but they want it to matter that they win. They don't want to be 35-point favorite. I wouldn't want to be a 35-point favorite and beat somebody every year to where it was just a foregone conclusion that in a rivalry game that matters.
Yeah.
I'm getting text messages that I probably should go with Darn.
Yeah, you should go with Darn, but that's okay. I won't judge you for it. But please post a video of the kids singing it.
Oh, I will.
That would make my weekend.
I will for sure.
That would make my weekend.
Mm-hmm. Joe said we could win tomorrow if I was the quarterback.
I don't know that the offensive line can protect you long enough, but we'll find out. O-line's been better, but Alabama's good.
Joe, that's why I love you.
Joe has faith in Eric Ainge. I'm just going to leave that there.
2-for-3 against Bama, 3-0 against Georgia, 1-3 against Florida. But at least I got a 1. At least I got a 1.
What can Tennessee do to beat Alabama? I know you're going to give me keys to the game, but if there's one thing that Tennessee can do to beat Alabama tomorrow, what is it?
Fight. I mean, like, to the point of not playing dirty. I remember saying something similar to this a long time ago, and it ended up on College Game Day. And come flipping Herb Street. I know Kirk Herb Street. I've known him for years. Him and Shoddy used to live next to each other in Franklin. We played croquet before, and whatever else he does. He should have known I would never say to actually go out and try to injure somebody or hit them dirty. As a proponent of football, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But you can go hit people hard enough that they don't want to play that kind of football game. And no one does it against Bama. Here's the problem. Remember Butch, was it Butch or Dooley that called him the red team or the crimson team or something?
I think it was, I think both.
I think both did
a variation of that, because I said it was one definitively last year, and then I was proven that it was the other, and then I went back and looked, but I think both of them have done it.
No, DC, I'm not bringing cigars to the kids' classroom. I mean, honestly, at this point, I think a lot of people would be okay with a lot of stuff if we won. But you fight them, dude. You fight them. You go out there, and from the opening snap, you hit them as hard as you possibly can. You're going to miss some plays because of it, but you have to make sure they know in those first two drives on both sides of the ball, if you're Darrell Taylor and you're Daniel Batuli and you're our guys, that you're willing to do anything in that football game, and nothing is out of bounds other than dirty play. You know what I mean? We're going to bring three through a gap. Yeah, you know what? You're probably going to score on that play. You're probably going to score on a lot of plays. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to hit you. I remember playing teams where we played them, and it doesn't have to be every single player that gets hit like that. We played Cal, and on the opening kickoff, first off, Neyland Stadium was like it's never been sent. Like, I mean, and I mean that. It was the first time we sucked in 05. And that was the first game afterwards, and there was so much pent-up Vol aggression. We hurt the guy in the first play. And you don't want to hurt him, but you want to hit him so hard. We hit him so hard that he got hurt. And you know what it did for the rest of the football game?
Set the tone.
Set the tone that's the kind of football game it was going to be. And you know what? They made that top 10 team that day decided they didn't want it. And our guys are already making quotes that kind of lead me to believe that this might be the kind of game where they do that. Where they fly down there, and you can fair catch it if you want, but that first row of guys in that kickoff, they're all getting double teamed. And if Bama doesn't wave their hand and fair catch it, then we might be in trouble. But they might have four guys laying on the ground. That's the kind of football game it has to be. If you just go play them in a straight up X's and O's, tit for tat football game where you just go line up and play, you're going to get your butt kicked and you're not going to feel good about it.
Welcome back here to Rusty Walski for hour number two of the Eric Ainge Show. Next, we'll start it with college football trivia. We'll take callers number one and two right now at 656-9900. You'll play college football trivia with a trip to Breakout Knoxville on the line. It's FM 99.1, the sports animal.